eligible for some of this CARES Act funds for nonprofits?
Steve, could you answer that question?
I can try. Depending on their situation and whether they've received previous CARE funding and the type that they've received, there is CARE funding available for most nonprofits. I would assume Mountain View Food Services would fall into that category, but I don't know what they've already applied for or received, and there are some limitations on some programs, but you can only get it once.
Does that explain your question, answer your question, Member Mucci?
For now it does. Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on the main motion as amended? Clerk, call the roll.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2020-15 passes with a 6-1 vote, with Member Barole voting no, if I've heard her vote correctly.
No, I said yes.
Well, you said yes. Okay, it passed unanimously. Okay, I better turn my hearing aids up. That brings us to ordinance 2020-16, an ordinance amending Title II, Elections of the Petersburg Borough Code, to provide for an election by mail at the discretion of the Assembly. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Someone asked the question, is this going to be the way we conduct business for elections in the future? And I think this just gives us the ability to, if we're still in some kind of a situation for social distancing like we are now with this COVID situation. So I thought I would add that little statement in there. Any other discussion?
I'd like to comment on it.
Okay, Member Trimbley.
Yeah, thank you. Just for clarification for those at home, this would be something we could choose to do this summer if the situation called for it. And one of the reasons this is so important is an estimated 900 to 1,000 people vote in person in Petersburg at a time. And an estimated 10 out of the 12 typical poll workers are either in at-risk age groups or have pre-existing conditions that would make them vulnerable in a large group situation. So there's a lot to work through, and I'm grateful that Clerk Thompson has been on it with regards to state elections. And so we're open to questions and feedback. And obviously, of course, we want to snap a finger and not need to consider this kind of thing for the fall, but it's important that we have this step in place. So that's my thought on that.
Any other discussion on ordinance 2020-16? Clerk, call the roll.
Mayor Jensen, actually, I had noticed that there were a few things that were missing from the ordinance, and so I made some changes to it in between the second and this reading. So if someone could, I have a suggested motion under the narrative. If one of you wouldn't mind, please, making a motion to approve those changes.
Okay, I didn't see that. So now that I looked in a little deeper on the into the agenda, I do. So we need a
Mr.
motion.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would move that we amend this to approve the additional wording added to 0.04.060F and L, which will accommodate voters not listed on the voter register provide the ability to hand-deliver an absentee ballot and provide a specific day and time as a deadline to request an absentee ballot.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the amendment? And thank you, Debbie, for finding out and clarifying it. Is there any other discussions from the Assembly on the amendment? Clerk, call the roll on the amendment.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, that was on the amendment. Is there any other discussion on the main motion as amended? Clerk, call the roll.
Taylor?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, ordinance 2020-16 passes unanimously in its third and final reading. Under new business, that's the next item on the agenda. Item A is resolution 2020-05. This is a resolution. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We skipped ordinance 2018 for second reading.
Oh, we did. I was trying to sneak by that one. Okay. Unfinished business. Ordinance 2020-18, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2020 budget for known changes. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? What this ordinance does is it will provide for a new special revenue fund for the first distribution of CARES Act funding to the borough in the amount of $2,216,502. And this was unanimously approved in its first reading. And after this meeting is over, we will have a special meeting to address this ordinance in its third reading, since we have to have three specific readings of each ordinance. So, is there any discussion on this ordinance 2020-18? Clerk, call the roll.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're on to item 15, new business. This resolution is the first item of resolution 2020-05, the resolution setting the millage rate for the fiscal year July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2021. I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been moved and with a second. There's motion been made and it's been seconded to adopt resolution 2020-18, which or resolution 2020-05, which sets the mill rate for the upcoming year. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2020-05 passes unanimously. That brings us to Resolution 2020-06. This is a resolution accepting coronavirus relief fund from the state of Alaska, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, for costs that are necessary for expenditures incurred due to the public health emergency with respect to the coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19. I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
So move.
Second.
Okay, and if approved, this resolution will approve Manager Giesbrecht to sign the Coronavirus Relief Fund Grant Agreement to accept CARES Act funding from the state of Alaska in the amount of $3,978,894 or other amount as may be made available to the borough to be used for necessary costs incurred due to the public health emergency with respect to COVID-19. So I'd read that for an explanation to the listening public. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Resolution 2020-06 passes unanimously. That brings us to the next resolution on the agenda, Resolution 2020-07. A resolution to temporarily change assembly meeting times for the 2020 summer months of June, July, August, and September, 12 noon. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So move.
Second.
Is there a second? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. I have a question. So was this put on the agenda by the administration?
Mr. Mayor, I put that on the agenda.
Okay. Just wanted to know where.
The reason being is that since we're having the most of all of our meetings so far, and it looks like some in the future, are going to be done the same way. And it seems to me that it doesn't make, whether we have it in the morning or have it at night, it doesn't really make much difference because folks can call in either way. For the amount of time it takes and so forth. So I think it also helps us in terms of freeing up some time for ourselves too. Anyhow, that was my reasoning for putting it on.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I have something to say about that.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Okay, Member Trembley?
No, it's Brandy. But, for me, I work during the day, and to have all the meetings at noon is really actually pretty inconvenient. I mean, as much as I like my evenings free, it doesn't really work for my work schedule. Taking one Monday off or, an afternoon off a month is one thing, but two, I don't know. So I'm not in favor of this at all. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And there was another assembly member that wanted to comment.
Yeah, it was me, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Yeah, similar to Member Morrell, I have a job where I work during the day and I'm a self-employed person. I've scheduled my world around, since I've been on the assembly, 1 noon and 1 6. And we did that for a variety of reasons, to be inclusive toward people in service area 2 or outside of service area 1. I'll be voting no. I won't lose a whole lot of sleep over it if it passes, but, a lot of us set our lives around the routine of planning on a noon and 6, and I prefer it that way. That's all.
Okay, thank you, Member Stanton Gregor. Any other comments by assembly members?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah,
go ahead. Was there any other comments?
A quick question, I guess. Yeah. Would Bob be opposed to changing it from noon to just 6? Because that seems like it would maybe work better with everybody. I won't be here, so I, one way or the other.
Okay. Any other comments from assembly members? Okay, I'll try and...
Sure, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if Bob wanted to respond. I can wait till Bob responds. Okay. You know, I moved this around last couple of years, and I kind of heard loud and clear from a lot of business owners in town that, you know, their noontime, their day was pretty darn busy, and if they were going to participate or listen to a meeting, it was much more, you know, convenient for them to have these meetings in the evenings. And, you know, for me, I kind of, you know, I can understand the noon meeting and the 6, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see us getting back together here on a limited basis in person. But, I heard the business owners loud and clear that they wanted to be able to participate, and noontime was kind of a bad time for them. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, I all along have actually wanted both meetings to be in the evening, and the reasoning behind that was to allow the public, the working public, to participate, be able to participate in meetings without affecting their work schedule. So that's all, and then we have come up with the first meeting of the month at noon, second meeting of the month at 6. And that's what I support still. So having both of the meetings at noon, I can't support that. So, any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
No.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
No.
Chelsea?
No.
Taylor?
No.
Mark?
No.
Jay?
No.
Thank you.
Jay, resolution 2020-07 fails with a 6-1 vote with Member Lim supporting. The next item on the agenda is resolution 2020-08. A resolution approving expenditure of $390,000 from the CARES Act Special Revenue Fund to mitigate economic harm to nonprofit organizations and child care providers related to the COVID-19 outbreak. So I would entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
So moved.
I'll consider one of those as a second. So it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Thank you, Mr.
Yes,
Mayor.
Member Bucci.
Thank you. I'll kind of go over my questions, and you know, I can wait for an answer. But so I understand that $390,000 is like 10% of the $3.9 million. So can somebody tell me where that $50,000 amount came from? I mean, is that something that our staff came up with, or is that a recommendation that people have put forward?
Steve, can you answer that? Or who would be appropriate to answer that question?
Liz, are you on the phone?
I am.
Can you answer that, please, Liz?
Sure. So the $50,000 represents what the three different child care providers, it's an estimate of what the three different child care providers would be eligible for under the funding formula. And then there's a little bit of a fudge factor in case the information that we're getting from the state isn't 100% accurate, meaning that if there's another provider that might be small, home-based, or something that is not showing up on the state's list for some reason, we have provided for that as well.
Okay,
so Mr. Mayor,
does that answer that question, Member Mucci?
Sure it does, but, you know, that $50,000, that's just for child care providers. That has nothing to do with other nonprofit agencies in town?
I would think they would get their money from the remaining $340,000, but Liz, can you explain?
Sure, this set aside The $50,000 is for licensed child care providers only. That set aside is there mostly so that we can act faster with the child care providers than with the regular nonprofit. Yeah, and the balance of the funds would be available to the other nonprofit organizations.
Member Mucci, do you have another question?
Sure. You know, under Appendix A, Mr. Mayor, under objectives, it says, the second line says, Petersburg is relying on nonprofits to provide. So would that, is an edit would be to Petersburg is relying on nonprofits and child care providers to provide?
So you're in the whereas, is that where you're at?
I'm on the page that says Resolution 2020-08, Appendix A, under the Nonprofit and Child Care Stabilization Program, under Objectives.
Okay.
I just want to know if child care providers should be in that sentence.
Under point of clarification?
Sure.
Does this mean that
Mr. Mayor, can I have a point of clarification here?
Member Stan Greger.
Yeah, thank you. Member Mucci, I'm a little confused because I'm reading the objectives, and it does mention, maybe I'm hearing wrong, but I'm reading it as mentioning child care providers. They mention both nonprofits and child care providers, so I'm trying to see what you want to add and where. I'm not quite getting it.
Member Mucci. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I see it's under there, Jay, in the first sentence, Assembly Member Stanton Greger. I see it's there under that first, but I didn't know if it needed to be in that second sentence behind Petersburg is relying on nonprofits and child care providers. I mean, if we're comfortable having it up in that first sentence, that's fine. I just wanted to know if we needed it in that second sentence. Thank you.
Okay, well, I guess if you want to change it, make a motion and see if we get a second. I see child care listed, so I think it's covered personally, but any other discussion?
I do, Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Member Lim.
Yes. When I brought the subject up of last meeting of developing a framework for the amount of money and how we would provide it for nonprofits, child care, et cetera, I have to thank both Liz and Jody for the amount of work and what they put together. I think they've put together a really pretty doggone good package for us, first. The second part of that is that I think that we there's still questions, I think, and Liz would be the one, I think, to answer my question, is that I believe there's still a lot of question out there, particularly for the state has changed the rules a number of times of who qualifies, who don't qualify, how it would be done. So if we approve this, I think there has to be a little bit of latitude because I anticipate the state's going to change some rules on us a couple times again. Liz, could you, Liz, could you address it, please?
Liz, is that a concern of yours as well, or do you think we've got that issue covered?
Can't hear you very well, Liz.
Yeah, you're pretty
is that any better?
Yes,
oh, that's
much better.
Is that better? Okay. I took you off speaker, or all of us off speaker. Yes, thanks for bringing that up, Member Lynn. The one of the frustrations that Jody and Steve and everyone and I have had is trying to get clear guidance on the use of the funding. The attachment that is provided is what we believe is a good framework, but there might be, not because we would want it, but there might be some new guidance that comes down from the state or from the federal government that might impact that. So I just want to make you aware this is what we're aiming for. It could change slightly, just based on what we can and cannot do with the CARES funding.
Thank you for that explanation, Liz, and for bringing that up, Member Lim. Does that answer your question, Member Lim?
It It does, and thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on Resolution 2020-08?
Yeah, I had a question.
Okay.
I had talked to Jody earlier today, but she mentioned maybe asking Liz just to verify, but how is the grant money or the percentage or whatever the value is going to be distributed to these nonprofits or child care facilities?
Does someone have an answer for Member Morrell's question?
I can answer that, I believe. I think you're asking about the am I interrupting somebody?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I think your question is about the funding formula, I hope. So the organizations that are eligible are nonprofits and then any licensed child care provider, either a nonprofit or a private business. And the formula is based on the organization or the business's annual revenue. And so there's basically a flat amount per based on what they earn in a year. So if they earn $50,000 or less, then there's up to a $5,000 grant.
Okay.
That's what I was asking.
Okay. Any other discussion on Resolution 2020-08? Clerk, call the roll.
Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you. I have my last question is about on Appendix A, and it's under the eligibility requirements. And on the fourth paragraph down, it reads, and can demonstrate all grant funds will be expended to benefit residents of Petersburg Borough. Who do the nonprofits need to demonstrate to?
That would be to the borough admin, you know, and we fill out, when they fill out an application, if it's an organization that's not necessarily based here, we're going to have a question on there about, you know, whether they have a local advisory board and what services they provide in town, and they're going to need to have a mechanism to show that they have controls in place in their accounting, and this is going to have to be self-certified for the most part, that they can control the money and show that it's actually going to be spent in Petersburg. An example would be something like Salvation Army, where they receive quite a bit of money nationally. They're based in Anchorage, but they do funnel funds specifically and earmark it specifically for Petersburg. So that would be an example of an organization that does that on a regular basis, and they have experience doing that, and so they would make note of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Any other discussion on Resolution 2020-08? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 2020-08 passes unanimously. That brings us to item E under new business. That's Alaska Trollers Association request for $2,500 to help fund their lawsuit. I'd entertain a motion to approve this request.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Yes, if I might, Mr. Mayor.
Member Lynn.
Yeah, I get wrapped around the axle on this one. I totally agree with their premise. I've studied the issue. I have no problem. You know, I agree with where they're headed for. The problem I have, and I would also add that Em's Daughtry is probably the most knowledgeable and probably the best speaker for this issue that I've heard here in Southeast. That being said, The question is that we have a particular gear group here, and yeah, it'll probably benefit some of the other gear group. Does it benefit all the people in the borough? No. Where do I draw the – this is where I get wrapped around the axle a little bit in my mind. Where do I draw the line that this is an appropriate expenditure of borough funds when it actually, you know, limits it to a certain group? I'm not kind of for this right now, only because I can't sort this. So if another lawsuit comes up with another gear group, do then we go there and do we go to the next one? I'm running this through my mind. I can't get it. I agree with the premise. I don't agree with funds. And I'll stop at that point.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion on this request of $2,500?
Mr. Yeah.
Mayor? Go ahead, Taylor.
Member Norheim, on?
Yeah, thank you. I'm kind of right there with Bob, but I don't like the idea of giving money to one group because, again, well, what happens when the next group gets a lawsuit? But then, you know, I have to look at is where is this coming from? Well, Washington State. Well, why is Washington getting involved in our stuff? Apparently it has to do with orcas that are coming up here. And I don't know. I don't like outside actors coming after us, and maybe just the trollers this time, but then, you know, where does it go from there? I am going to continue mulling this for the short amount of time we have to vote on it, because I really don't know where to go with it.
Okay, thank you. Was there another comment?
Sure, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Member Mucci.
Thank you. Yeah, for me, you know, the trollers are part of the commercial fishing community in Petersburg. We don't hear much from them. They kind of go about their business and do what they do. And, you know, as far as I can tell on the CFEC website, there's like 164 power trollers here in Petersburg. And, you know, we need to do what we can to kind of keep this way of living alive. And if, like Member Norheim said, if there's outside groups trying to influence local fisheries, and that's an issue. I mean, I think commercial fishermen can agree that they're getting leaned on by all sides from down south and sometimes even in the States. So I'm going to support this, and I appreciate what the trollers are doing. They got a tough road ahead of them, and I think we can afford this out of the borough budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Any other input, comments?
Yeah, I have.
Member Morrell, and I've got Member Tremblay, I believe. Member Morrell first.
I just wanted to say that I'm with Member Mucci on this one. I'm in support of it. I think that we can afford it. I think that it definitely there's a large number of people that are economically impacted or potentially could be, and the trollers have already had a huge hit with the king salmon in the last year and now this year as well. So I think that this would be definitely beneficial to the community to help out a large group of them. And that's it.
Thank you. Member Tremblay?
Yeah, I totally see the need for the support, and I understand how difficult it must be for the Alaska Trollers Association to fundraise for something like this. It's not really a nonprofit you can apply grant money for. My question was, have we ever as a borough supported a legal fund like this before? I'm pretty good about listening to meetings, but I don't know if I have some total of our institutional memory in my own brain. Can anyone answer that question?
Clerk Thompson, do you have any knowledge we could answer Member Tremblay's question?
I cannot remember a time when we have supported a different group's legal fund.
Okay, and I can't either, but I can't remember the request being made either.
Me either,
Member
actually.
Trimley? Member Trimley, you have more comment?
Yeah, it's just I'm definitely getting the issue of precedent is coming up for me, and that is battling with the larger good of supporting the Alaska Trollers and the trollers within our own community. So, yeah, I don't know if I have another question, but just that's what I'm wrestling with on this right now.
Okay, thank you. Any other assembly members have comments?
If I can again, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I guess I feel like we probably, maybe not with the legal funds, but we fund some things, I guess, that don't necessarily benefit everybody in the community. So, I mean, as long as this doesn't become a thing, I guess I could vote for this.
Thank you, Member Norton. Any other member?
Yeah, Lynn? Mr. Mayor. Yes. Does anybody know what this is for the initial part of it, and they're trying to raise funds. Do they have no idea how far this will go? Are we talking, you know, there could be a $100,000 lawsuit and so forth. I'm going back to Member Norheim, it triggered this thought in me, is this a multiple then request? Are we going to do that one time? Where I'm still, as I say, I'm wrestling with this thing. And are we funding just a little piece of the whole puzzle? I don't know. I throw that out just for question, but Member Norheim's the one that triggered my thought process. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments by other assembly members?
Mr. Mayor?
Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you. You know, as far as I can tell, this is a one-time contribution to the legal fees. You know, my intention is not to fund the entire lawsuit here. They need some help in the injunction process right now. And it's just $2,500. I know that's a lot of money, but it's just one of those things where I think it would go a long ways in supporting commercial fishermen in Petersburg, not just all the commercial fishermen, but the trollers. I mean, we give letters of support for seiners and other gear groups, and my intent is not to fund the whole lawsuit. The intent of this is just to contribute $2,500 to this legal fee and a one-time thing, and I can't imagine me supporting any other funding for an additional funding for this lawsuit. So for me, it's just a one-time thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Mucci. If there's no other comments from assembly members, I think it's a good investment of money. We have, like Member Mucci said, 154 trawlers, registered from the CFEC power trawlers in Petersburg. That's a big number. And I think it would benefit the entire community to have that fleet fishing, and it support the fuel docks, the grocery stores, processors, et cetera. And I don't see this as an ongoing request. I think it's just $2,500. But I do have one question. If this is approved, where would the funding come from? Out of what piggy bank? Jody, or?
I was just thinking about this. I think that probably the assembly's budget.
I was wondering if that's where you'd take it from. So.
Can I ask a question?
What is the balance?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Member Trimley. I wasn't quite done. But.
Oh, it's my role. But I was curious. We have an economic fund, and is there something we could use? Could we use money from there since this is helping them? And it's directly tied to their economic.
You mean take it from the PEDC money? PEDC fund. That would be a request of the PEDC board.
Yeah, that's what it was. Request it from there.
Any other discussion?
So we do have
Go ahead, Member Trimbley.
This is actually Finance Director Tao. We do have a economic fund, special revenue fund. Unfortunately, there isn't an amount budgeted to spend on this, but we could use, which is why the Assembly's budget came to mind. There was room in there from not traveling as much in their budget that we could possibly use. If we wanted to use the economic fund, it would probably need another supplemental budget, which is three readings. And, you know, the end of the fiscal year is June 30. So, and if we wanted it to happen anytime soon, we couldn't use the economic fund. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. And just like you mentioned about a supplemental budget, if we take it out of the Assembly's budget and for some reason, which I can't imagine, we've spent all our travel money this year, we need to add more. We could do a supplemental budget at that point. But I think this is important to get this voted on today, and hopefully this will pass to support the troll fleet in Petersburg. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Jay?
Nope.
Taylor?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, the funding request from the Loss Controllers Association passes with a 5-2 vote, with members Lennon, Stanton, Greger opposed, and the money will come out of the Assembly's budget. Next item on the under new business, public health mandate number 3 extension. In-person participation at Assembly meetings suspended during the COVID-19 crisis. And this is a request to, as written, the extension would be effective until terminated. So I entertain a motion to approve this extension.
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. And was this put on the agenda by Mr. Hagerman, or is this something that was going to expire, so we have to extend it? I'm just kind of curious why we're addressing it. So was this going to sunset soon?
Yes, actually, Mayor Jensen, it did sunset already after the second meeting in May, so that's why we're looking at it again.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation. Any discussion?
So,
go ahead, Member Norheim.
So my understanding is that if we re-up this, then we're going back to I was unaware that we couldn't go to the Assembly, or we could go to the Assembly chambers again, but, or is this just for the public here?
This is actually for everyone. This means that we would continue having telephonic Assembly meetings unless and until it's terminated.
Okay, and would the, yeah, you can still, okay, never mind, yeah.
Okay,
Member Lynn?
That was my question also, is that I'm a little bit different, I guess, than most folks on this, is that I think this is going to be the way of the future. And it's time that we look at making a few changes I'm okay with social distancing in that assembly chambers. I'm okay if I would want to, you want a mask. I'm okay with leaving allowing assembly members to make a choice if they want to call from home, do what they have. But I also think that choice should be there to allow a number of folks to be in that assembly chamber, social distancing, and doing whatever we need to make ourselves safe so we feel safe. And so I agree with the premise of some of what's in there, but I think it's time to make a change. And that's where I would propose to do. I think we need to leave in place the fact that we don't need, you know, four people on the DOS to make a decision. And I think we ought to assembly members to make their own choice, allow the public to call in. But I also think that we should allow attendance in person at a meeting in the assembly chambers.
Okay, thank you, Member Lynn. Any other comments? And this does apply the way it's written, effective April 3rd, 2020, in-person participation during assembly meetings or any other public meeting of a borough board or commission was temporarily suspended. So that this would include all public meetings by public boards and commissions, if I'm reading this correctly. Any
that
other comments? Carl, would you like to comment on this? And, you know, I'm kind of thinking along the same lines of Member Lynn. I don't see where it would be a problem. I think the clerk and the manager actually measured things out in the assembly chambers, and the assembly would be able to sit. Like four of them, I believe, they set up at the dais, and then the rest at the back were table where department heads generally sit, and the clerk and the manager would be in the room as well. If we were to go that route without a mandatory masking mandate in, would we have to wear masks? I mean, I guess we could out of consideration for the others, but I don't think any of the public would be allowed. Wouldn't they have to call in still, Debbie? Is that what you guys kind of figured out?
Yes, that is correct.
And as far as all assembly members, we can count as a quorum calling in, correct? We made that, obviously made that a change during this situation. So I guess what
yes,
I'm getting at...
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that as long as the emergency declaration, 3.72, as long as that is in effect, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you. So I guess we'll see. Get Mr. Hagerman's input, if he would, on this.
Sure, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, you're coming in clear.
Okay, thank you. So, the original reason for this mandate number three was, of course, out of an abundance of caution, keep everybody safe. The remote meetings are not as efficient, that's for sure, but they are an effective provision to keep everybody safe on the assembly, as well as members of the public that want to testify. The extension of this would also be in that same vein, and even though the governor is moving forward with his reopening of the state plan, as we've seen this last weekend, it's very easy for cases across the state to take a rise after we're still not sure exactly why the cases are on the rise, whether it was Memorial Day get-togethers or travel, but nonetheless, we're seeing quite a rise in cases, and it wouldn't take long for that to affect Petersburg. So, it's really an assembly decision, but I think that whatever the decision is, there should be a lot of focus on keeping everybody on the assembly safe. as well as any members of the public that want to testify. And I think the clerk has done a good job of researching that. And at the end of the day, we're recommending that this mandate be extended. But as Member Lynn spoke, you know, this is going to be going on for a while. So maybe there is some room to make some changes, do some planning that allows for some in-person, face-to-face participation with some options for the public and for the assembly to participate. Again, the EEOC really speaks on the side of caution at all times, and so it's our recommendation that the mandate be extended.
Okay, thank you, Carl. And like it says, as written, the extension would be effective until terminated. So if at a future date the Assembly decided to start conducting meetings in the Assembly chambers with the Assembly and the clerk and manager present, then we could bring that forward. So any other discussion?
Really quick.
Sure, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Member Stanton-Greger?
Sure. I'll be voting for this today. You know, it's really all about what level of risk we're all comfortable with. And I like what you said, Mr. Mayor, in terms of the wording there at the bottom. This, we can, you know, by a majority vote at any time, we can change this to some other mode that works for all of us. But for the time being, I feel very comfortable voting yes and re-upping this so we can evaluate, you know, if and how we want to make any changes to it in the future, and I'd be open to any of those too at that time. I'll be voting yes today. Thanks.
Thank you. Was there another Assembly member that tried to get recognized?
There was, Assembly Member Tremblay.
Okay.
I think this is a great opportunity to talk about the modeling of the podding or of the small circles that our Health Directors Inc. talks about at the state level. You know, like for, I'm just going to use my household as an example. My partner works with people who are at high risk, and so we are taking every precaution because they're working in closed settings in situations that are difficult to wear a mask. We're taking every precaution to prevent bringing the virus into that work situation, just like me being interacting with the public at work, taking every precaution to not bring it home with me. And that's the extent of our pod, you know, like my parents, all four of them, and the people I see at work. And then our brief interactions when we're existing around town, you know, getting stuff at the hardware store, grocery store, et cetera. And that's our contained unit, so to say. And so since it's state recommendation at this point to be limiting our own immediate circles, that's our path forward as a household. And so that then would have to be extrapolated with every member of the Assembly and what level of exposure they're having among others in the community and what precautions they're taking at large, because the masks are very precautionary and the Assembly chamber is rather, you know, for all that it's, we could technically space out, the issue is airflow and air filtration. And you know, some of these meetings have been 3 hours long, so that's my reasoning for believing it's important we continue to have call-in. But I'm open to the situation as it changes, but that's why I'll be voting for this.
Okay, thank you, Member Tremblay. Any other input by other Assembly members? Will the clerk call the roll on the extension of health mandate number 3?
Taylor?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Brandy?
No.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, communications.